All right, moving on to item five is a presentation from Brown Armstrong on the audit of December 31, 2020 financial statements. I don't know, Gail, whose item that is, but we will turn it over to you, and it looks like Andy's on, so.
Yes, we have Andy Paulden from Brown Armstrong here today, and I think we're getting him set up. And we also have Brooke Baird with Brown Armstrong.
Excellent.
Good morning, everyone. Before I get started, I just want to make sure you can hear me, a thumbs up or a nod of the head. Perfect.
We can hear you.
And apparently I'm going to have to get a better sunscreen here because I'm now noticing that I have the shades going over my face. So I apologize for that. But
actually, it's worse. It looks like you're incarcerated.
You know, I've got the same thing. I thought it's just coming right from jail cells.
I'm just going to see if I can get something up there to stop that. But anyway, thank you. That's quite entertaining.
For the record,
my name is Andy Paulden. I'm a CPA and a partner with Brown Armstrong Accountancy Corporation. And with me on the Zoom call today is
Brooke Baird. I'm the audit manager on your engagement.
Great. Thank you, Brooke. And Brooke says manager, but she's really on her way to being partner here very soon. So you're in good hands. But anyway, we're the key team members responsible for all accounting and auditing services provided to your association. And it is our pleasure to be here today to present to you the results of our audit of your December 31, 2020 financial statements. I know that the materials were distributed and were included in the packets that are distributed to the board members as well as online. We included in that kind of our outline or sub-agenda, if you will, in regards to what we wanted to address today. And then the most important document, the CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, is included, as well as our report to the Board of Retirement that contains certain required reports that were to issue that are typically issued and presented outside of the CAFR. So again, I always like to just start by reminding everybody what the purpose of an audit is and why you engage auditors. Obviously, these are your financial statements. You issue a CAFR, a Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, every year, whereby you as management are representing or asserting that all the financial information contained therein is fairly presented in accordance with GAAP or generally accepted accounting principles. You engage us, and it's our responsibility as an independent audit firm to conduct an audit engagement and render opinions as to whether or not your assertions and representations are in fact accurate. That opinion then accompanies your financial statements and gives the readers or users of the financial information contained therein some assurance that someone outside your organization has taken responsibility for those numbers and the financial information as well. So we've broken the presentation or segregated between both Brooke and I. She's gonna talk now about the audit process and the risk areas and scope of the audit work. So I'm gonna turn it over to Brooke, and then after she's completed that, I'll address the audit opinions and reports that we've issued. But please, throughout the presentation, please ask questions. We're here to clarify anything that may be included in our report or within the financial statements as well. So Brooke, I'm gonna turn it over to you.
Thank you, Andy. Really quick, would you folks like me to share my screen so that I pull the agenda up and you could see the items that we'll be discussing?
Sure.
All right, let me do that really quick. I'll leave my camera off and then share. All right. Can everybody see that?
Yes.
All right. Today, I'll be going over the audit process. That's item number two, as you could see on your screen. Timeline coordination with staff begins during December of the previous year, so December 2020 or early January. This is when we set our schedule. We reach out to management with our proposed critical dates timeline. This timeline keeps both us and Sisera on track with all activities that need to be conducted during the course of the audit. It assists both parties in keeping the audit moving forward. The critical dates list is presented to the audit committee during our annual scope of services presentation. That occurred this year on February 24th. Topics discussed during this meeting included our audit objectives, our audit strategies, and our areas of focus. This is our most detailed discussion with the audit committee. This is where we lay out the plan. We also summarize the reports that are be expected to be issued, and Andy will be going over these reports in a little bit under item number four. 2B, the planning phase is when we begin our update of our understanding and evaluation of Sisera's internal controls. On our internal, on our initial information request list, we include a request for any updated policies and procedures, an update to our prior understanding of internal controls, which is done by our management here at the firm and with the different departments at Sisera. We also review current year board and committee minutes before we do start our interim procedures. This allows us to see if there is any changes that management didn't make us aware of. And it also allows us to take a first look to make sure that our procedures are going to be addressing any new policies and procedures Sisera might have put into place. As a quick reminder, we do break up our field work into 2 weeks. One is interim and the other is final. During our interim procedures, we do meet with our staff, go over the understanding, and we perform what we call our walkthrough procedures of each significant audit area's internal controls. To perform these this year, we did them via Zoom. We do work closely with Henry and Lori in the accounting department. They help us to coordinate all meetings with other Sisera departments. This is a very time-consuming process because prior to us auditing at final, we want to make sure that we have a good understanding of what your internal controls, and then we also trace transactions through those internal controls to ensure that only does Sisera have the policies and procedures in place, but that they're also following the policies and procedures. And we continue to do this process throughout the course of the audit in case anything comes to light during our other procedures where possibly we noted a weakness or we note that maybe a policy or procedure isn't being followed. Item 2C, another part of the planning stages are confirmation procedures. We provide Sisera management with a list of the types of confirmations that will need to be sent out along with the recommended templates, and then Sisera prepares those for us. About 5 years ago, we switched to an email format where we do email out the confirmations to the various financial institutions, investment managers, and participating employers. Also the actuary and legal. We do still mail out hard copies to the participant samples, which is a sample of your retirees and a sample of your active members. Quick update, as always, we did have a very good response rate for the various confirmations, and we were able to utilize the information included in these confirmations to substantiate year imbalances and current year activity. So this is, it sounds like a quick process, but the confirmation process can actually be quite lengthy because of the amount of investment managers you have. And sometimes it does require a bit of follow-up as investment managers are finalizing their balances. So that's a process that we continue throughout the month of May. Item 2D is interim testing. For this year's audit, we kept everything remote. So we stayed on site here in Bakersfield and we conducted our audit with the help of Gail, Henry, and the rest of the Sisera staff. We found this a very efficient process last year, so we did decide to keep that. Interim fieldwork was conducted the week of March 15th. During our entrance, we did cover in detail what occurs during both interim procedures and final. In summary, for this week, we do focus on our documentation of controls, our testing of your controls, including our recalculation of a sample of contributions and benefit payments, and our fraud inquiries and analysis. This year, the audit went very smooth. I believe that Henry and his staff, along with the staff here at Brown Armstrong that conduct those tests, they were able to establish the procedures last year. So everything went very smoothly this year. Final fieldwork was conducted the weeks of April 26th and May 3rd. During these 2 weeks, we performed procedures that substantiate year and financial statement balances. This is the week that we use the confirmations, the majority of confirmations we obtained from your investment managers and your employees, and we use those to validate Sisera's records. For items that do not receive confirmation, we do obtain support from the accounting department at Sisera, and we analyze and reconcile those up to the general ledger. Also during this year, last year, I don't know if you remember, but we did start having an audit committee audit status update meeting. This is the last week of final. So we did meet with them and we go over just the status of the audit, how things are going, if we noticed anything that needs to be brought to their attention, which we didn't. We also take time to allow them to ask any detailed questions about our procedures. It's more of a general type meeting, open, just open to discussion, and it went really well. And then this isn't really on the item, but part of final is once we leave the field, we work on wrapping up our audit work papers, and we take this time evaluating the quality of our documentation. Once our work papers are complete, and I've completed my review, I give the engagement, we call it the binder, the CAFR and the related reports up to Andy. The CAFR is submitted to us for review by Sisera, and we work closely with their management to make sure it meets all the standard regulations and prior GFOA comments have been addressed. This year, I would like to just take a moment to mention that Henry, Lori, and the remaining accounting staff, Gail and her crew, they were able to get the CAFR to us in record time. It was a very clean CAFR draft. So I do want to say thank you to them. I know it did take a lot of work, but this is the first year that we were able to present a draft to the audit committee, I think, in the last 5 or 6 years. So they have to be commended for the extra effort and the extra work they put in to meet those deadlines. So once Andy completes his review, we do give it to our technical reviewer. This is an audit partner that has 1937 Act retirement experience that is not part of the engagement team. And they go in and they do a technical review to make sure that both Andy, I, and then of course, Mariana Hernandez, the supervisor on your engagement, we haven't missed anything and that our documentation is clean and it meets our audit standards.
So Brooke?
Yes.
Would you consider that a peer review? Is that the function there?
Yeah, somewhat. It kind of manages just like a peer review. It is someone at our firm, but it is an extra set of eyes. At Brown Armstrong, we do have an audit quality committee. This is a committee that meets of both partners and managers here at the firm to make sure that we are implementing all new standards and audit requirements on a timely basis. So typically it's someone at that level that's going to be doing, it is someone at those levels that's going to be doing the review. And during the audit quality committee meetings, you can't just review any type of engagement at Brown Armstrong. You have to have a considerable amount of experience in that industry or with that type of organization to be able to do one of these technical reviews. Mm-hmm. That way we know that our clients are receiving the best effort from our firm. So.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah. while we're on peer review, just as a quick comment, the way it normally works, a peer review is done by another firm, and it looks at a number of your engagements as well as your procedures, your firm internal control, the kind of process that Brooke was just describing, et cetera. So they have a slightly different purpose, but it certainly is an internal process that's important.
Right. Sounds like a QAQC function, but great. That's great, great info. Okay.
Yeah. And this is Andy. And first of all, that's a great question. And thank you. That's great clarification in regards to the peer review and the external. I'll just add that part of the cold review or technical review process is to use the AICPA checklist that if your engagement was selected for peer review, when we are subjected to peer review, we use that same checklist as part of our quality control or technical partner review. So really good question, really good response and clarification. I just wanted to add that last piece of information. So Brooke, back to you.
All right, thank you, Andy. And like I had mentioned just previously, on June 9th, we did present drafts of your CAFR and of our audit reports to be issued to the audit committee. And that meeting went really well. I don't know if you folks saw the agenda, but we did discuss the status of the audit. We reviewed our audit documentation procedures. We went over our review process. We discussed the efficiencies having to do with being able to perform the audit remotely. We did discuss at that time confirmations that were still pending, which were our legal confirmations. Those roll in the last week of the audit because the legal confirm responses have to be within 10 days of our independent auditor's report. We did discuss your investments, your year and cutoff procedures and the new accounting procedures you've put into place due to you having your first full year with Northern Trust. And we also discussed potential adjustments. So those are just some topics. And then I also went through in detail the audit reports that were to be issued the following week. So I just wanted to kind of update you on that. So you were in the loop.
All right.
And then
I want to say thank you and promise to the board that I will not repeat what a super job Brooke just did in describing what we did at the audit committee meeting.
I know the audit committee is just relieved to have Andy on the phone. They've seen a lot of presentations from me, so I'm sure his fresh prison face is much welcomed. Item three is the significant audit areas. I'm not going to go into detail here. This topic was covered with the audit committee during the entrance and during our May update. In summary, Brown Armstrong, we do utilize a risk-based audit approach when determining what areas we need to spend time auditing. And then these audit procedures, we have to analyze to make sure that they address all risks within that area. During our audit, we do spend a considerable amount of time looking at investments and investment-related earnings, the participant data and actuarial information, employee and employer contributions, employer payroll records, and then, of course, benefit payments. So I have discussed those procedures in the past, so I'm not going to go into any detail. Of course, if you have any questions now or after Andy concludes his section, we'll be more than willing to answer those. So if I don't hear anything else, Andy is going to be going through the reports and I'll do my best to move the screen along with the reports that he's going to be discussing.
All right, thank you, Brooke. Any further questions or comments for Brooke? Hearing none. Andy, I've got to call into the governor for you to see if we can get you out of there, but until then.
Get my parole.
Doing our best.
Thank you, I appreciate that. My IT guy is going to come in immediately after this meeting and get some screen up there for me to, but I really do appreciate the humor. I have a great sense of humor for, even as an accountant. With that, thank you, Brooke. Great component of your presentation. So I'll move into item four of our outline, and that's the audit opinions and reports that we've issued. The first is really the most important document or deliverable that we provide to you as a result of our audit procedures. I talked about the purpose of the audit and what it means. And so the actual document, although Brooke has it up on the screen, is on page 22 of your financial statements or your CAFR, if you will. And this is our independent auditor's report or opinion on the financial statements. And I'm pleased to report that we have issued an unmodified or clean opinion whereby we do opine that your financial statements are fairly presented in accordance with GAAP. This is the highest independent audit report that we can issue as CPAs. And as always, your entire organization is to be congratulated on receiving a clean bill of health in regards to your financial reporting. So that's the most important document, but there are equally important documents that we are required to issue as a result of our engagement. They are not part of your CAFR or financial report, but nonetheless, we provide them to you pursuant to our professional standards. And so I first want to kind of put them in context, each one of these in context and what they mean and why they are issued. So obviously, we never lose sight of the fact that we are engaged by this board and we report directly to the board as it relates to the results of the audit and any ongoing procedures throughout the year for that matter as well. But obviously, you as fiduciaries and board members discharge the responsibility for the performance of the audit engagement to your very capable staff. And we work with them in concert to complete our engagement and issue our deliverables. As a result, we're required to report back to you again as fiduciaries as to whether or not there are any significant items that occurred, arose during the audit that may have had either an impact on the financial statements, or just to keep you apprised of some of the significant estimates that are included in your financial statements, whether or not there were any disagreements with management on an auditing or accounting matter, and then whether or not there were any waived or past audit adjustments that occurred during the engagement. So first, I want to say it's a very straightforward and clean report. The estimates that we address predominantly related to your investments and the OPEB and the other pension liabilities that are included are all subjected to or subject to significant estimates. So we just like to point that out. Nonetheless, we have a responsibility to review the estimates, make sure they are reasonable, and make sure the results utilizing those estimates are reasonable as it relates to the amounts and disclosures included in your financial statement. So certainly no issues there. There were no disagreements with management on an accounting or auditing issue, no opinion shopping. There was, which is very normal in the 1937 Act arena, a waived audit adjustment, immaterial adjustment, if you will, that had no impact on our audit reports or the financial statements. It's really a timing of the kind of the cutoff for some of the investments that have some significant lag. And so it's really an ongoing catch-up process year over year. We've disclosed that amount, but again, had no impact on our reports. You still receive the clean opinion, but nonetheless, we have to bring that to your attention. So by and large, that Statement on Auditing Standards 114 report or required communication to the board is very standard and very clean. The next report that is included in that packet of the report to the board and the audit committee is our independent auditor's report that's issued pursuant to the Yellow Book standards or government auditing standards. So stepping back, not only do we as an audit firm have to follow the audit standards that are issued by the AICPA, anytime we conduct a governmental type audit such as yours, we have to follow these additional standards or Yellow Book standards. And they're quite lengthy. They deal a lot with, you know, our qualifications, our competencies, our training, our experiences, our monitoring of our staff, our documentation, a number of facets on our side, but it also requires us to kind of flip the switch and look into your organization and to identify whether or not there are any weaknesses in internal controls that did or could have had a material impact on your financial statement. It also requires us to look at your compliance with applicable laws and regulations, non-compliance with what may have or did in fact result in a material misstatement within your financial statement. So with that background, I'm pleased to report that this is a very standard and clean report. There were no weaknesses in your internal controls, nor were there any instances of non-compliance with laws and regulations. So again, you're to be congratulated on receiving that clean report as well. And then the final report is what we refer to in the profession as an agreed upon condition. And again, to kind of put this document in perspective, there are such reports that could have been issued in your engagement that could have been material weaknesses in your controls or other issues that would have been required to have been addressed and separate reports issued. I'm pleased to report that the absence of those reports is indicative that there were no such items that rose to those significant deficiency or material weakness level. So again, you're congratulated on that. Nonetheless, the third level or lowest level is the agreed upon conditions report. First and foremost, any items that are included in these types of report did not and would not have had any material impact on any of our deliverables and or your financial statements. So these are really just things that we bring to your attention that we identified when we're performing our procedures for other components of the audit and culminating our issuance of our opinion. But nonetheless, we bring them to your attention. And the normal process is we identify the issue or issues. We make sure that we as an audit team fully understand all of the issues, make sure we have complete knowledge of relevant facts and circumstances. And then we begin discussing those facts and circumstances, findings, if you will, with appropriate levels of management to again, make sure that we haven't missed anything, that we weren't mistaken in our interpretation of what we had thus far identified. And as that moves forward, and if there is a decision, or an encouragement from our side to include any items that we have identified in this final deliverable, we will do that again with full discussion with management and ask them in kind to provide a written response in regards to the finding and the recommendation that we have made. And also, if there are items that had of this nature that have been issued in the prior year, we have a responsibility to follow up on them in the current year audit to, again, ensure that appropriate action, corrective action, or otherwise was taken so that we don't have repetitive findings. So when you look at this document, and Brooke has that up on the screen, as you can see, there were no prior year agreed upon conditions. And one rose to the level of what we considered significant or important to include. But when you read management's response, they're appreciative, they're aware, you got your organization is aware, but you've got some processes and procedures and steps that are going to take place during the conversion to scrub your data even more. And so for many reasons, this is why we felt that it was an agreed upon condition and not at the higher level. And your organization is already and has already taken appropriate steps so that we don't anticipate this being a repeat finding. So we take this in the spirit of trying to just say, here's what we found. And as always, your organization is very receptive to that and takes appropriate action, which you've already began that process. So kind of in summary, as Brooke said, the audit process went very smooth, tremendous efficiencies. Your staff was fantastic, and even more so than they have been in prior years by just getting us the draft documents. That's fantastic. And that's a credit to your staff. It's been some challenging times over the last couple of years. And so we really appreciate that. The audit areas that we focused on, we address those with your audit committee. The opinions are all positive. So I just say job well done on your side. And we're pleased to present to you so what we refer to as very good results. So with that, I'll open it up to any questions or comments that you may have.
All right. Thank you, Andy. Agreed. It's a great report, and it speaks volumes about certainly our staff and audit committee, Gail, Henry, John, and the rest of the audit committee for, you know, keeping a close rein and eye on all of these matters. The one item you called out in the letter, the fix, if you will, as we all know, is we're converting out of CPAS to a new system, and we've been at that a while, and you know, that's the type and kind of CPAS issue that we need to get rid of entirely. So it's full steam ahead on that conversion. So hopefully we will see fewer, none of those types of errors going forward with, you know, with our new system. Any questions for Andy and or Brooke? I don't see any. So thank you both. Thank you. Great presentation. Appreciate the information. This is not an action item, folks, so we don't need to take a vote on this. This is for our listening and acceptance. So there's no further action required.
I know I speak for the rest of the board, Andy, when I wish you well in your upcoming parole hearing. And
let us know how it turns out.
And I appreciate that. And you know, my staff knows I have a pretty good sense of humor, and they like to give me the business. So I'm sure Brooke has already got this going down the pipe here. So I can't wait to get off this call and go experience the ramifications. But I welcome your very kind thoughts, and I'll let you know if I make it.
Yeah, check your Twitter account and Facebook. It's already there. So
perfect.
And look at anything you might get for a key. Just take a look before you take that bite, right?
You got it. Well, thank you all. We just so enjoy working with your entire organization. You've been with us for a long time. We really appreciate that. And it's been just a mutually beneficial relationship. And wish you all well for the rest of the day.
Thank you, Andy. Thanks, Brooke. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Job well done. Excellent.